Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Maybe the perfect illustration of this show's MO. We come in with good plans and a good intention, and then things happen. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, Mike Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, as will Chinne Agwumike shortly, because again, with the best laid plans, Chinne was a part of the jump today. The WNBA released the schedule for their upcoming 25th season. Very exciting stuff. We're going to hear from her in just a little bit. And in the meantime, when we have plans and things don't work out, Chinne going to be back here at the 5 o'clock hour. We are kind enough to be joined by an unbelievable teammate, Katie George, answering the bell and joining us here for the first hour. You guys see her all over the ACC network, best week ever with Peter Burns, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Sunday mornings on ESPN Radio. Going to be covering NCAA volleyball coming up as the tournament gets going in the next week. Katie, we really appreciate you, friend. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. There's nothing quite like getting a text from your boss, Gojo, when it's like, hey, what are you doing right now?
Oh, no.
Well, what is it? What do you want? What do you need? No, of course I'm happy to join you guys for just an hour before Chinne gets back in the host chair.
Well, Katie, you made the best analogy I've ever heard in this spot, because we've all been here. That's kind of how it is. You're always sort of on standby in this job when things pop up and when things happen, and we love to have you around here, but you did liken it. This was like going over to someone's house for a dinner party when you have to do the polite thing and ask, hey, can I bring anything? And you actually got asked to bring potato salad today.
Yeah, so I am supposed to be doing a show later tonight on ACC Network with EJ Manuel, and I've been prepping for that this afternoon, and so that's been at the forefront of my focus. And so when I got the text, I was like, well, you know, we don't start filming until 6 o'clock with our show on ACC Network, so I am technically available from, you know, 4 to 6. If you need me, just let me know. And, of course, yes, I am now here full of potato salad in my hands.
Well, you know what? Katie George comes. She comes correct with the finest potato salad. We are very excited to have you here. We're going to be
mustard
excited.
Mustard-based, by the way.
Oh, see, what important note on there. And, Katie, you'll appreciate this. I get slandered often around here. People say I put raisins in my potato salad around here. All of these very offensive things. So the mustard base in their shows, we're coming correct with the right stuff at this party.
Good.
It's impossible. Rachel Nichols going to join us also here in about 10 minutes on the show. Help get us ready. She was hanging out with Chinne on the jump for some complaints that we have heard about the NBA play-in games. All the fans and everyone excited last year in the bubble. The players, maybe not so much. Diana Rossini, our ESPN NFL reporter, going to stop by also because, Katie, we have got mana from heaven, and I know you can appreciate this as much as anybody, someone who covers college football for us so well around here, like myself. We're in mock draft season now. We're at that point where the NFL folks meet all these college players that we've been watching for quite a while now here. And I have to imagine you always enjoy this marriage too, because it's nice to see everyone starting to drive up the stock on guys that they are meeting for the first time in months after we just spent an entire fall with most of them.
Absolutely. And I feel like that's exactly what we're seeing happen with Mac Jones. I find the few weeks leading up to the NFL draft so fascinating because it wasn't so long ago that we were all on ESPN Radio and different ESPN platforms agreeing that Mac Jones is probably the fifth best quarterback in this draft class. And I think we were all comfortable with that. Well, then you fast forward to the then and now, and apparently Mac Jones has just awed Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch out with the 49ers. And so I don't know, Gojo, if this is a tactic or a smokescreen or really they think Mac Jones is the future franchise quarterback in San Francisco. But it's really interesting how things have shifted and moved just in the last couple of weeks as we quickly approach the NFL draft here at the end of the month.
Coming up in the next 3 weeks here, Chinne Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Katie George. And it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Katie, did you, in the course of quarantine and the pandemic in the last year, did you watch Bridgerton at all on Netflix?
I absolutely watched Bridgerton, and I have to guess you did too.
I did as well, and I have to give credit to my co-host Chinne Agwumike for coming up with this comparison when it comes to Mac Jones, because I think you're right. He's been sort of the weird fly in the ointment for a lot of people in this conversation. Mel Kiper's Mock Draft 4.0 just came out, and we had no surprise. Trevor Lawrence still at number one overall. Zach Wilson, BYU quarterback, at number two to the Jets, and as you mentioned, Mac Jones going third overall to the San Francisco 49ers. The other quarterbacks, Trey Lance, drafted at 6 in a trade by the Atlanta Falcons. And then at 10, Justin Fields, Ohio State quarterback, drafted to New England Patriots in a trade. But Katie, I bring up Bridgerton, because Chiné made this analogy, and I think it's apt with Mac Jones, who started this offseason as a quarterback, like you said, maybe the fifth of these, but still mocked in the middle to the end of first rounds. The Patriots were a name floated. And she said, Kyle Shanahan talking to you is kind of like the Duke of Hastings going up and concocting this plan and saying, hey, we're going to pretend we're dating and drive up your asking price, drive up what other people might come flocking your way, find you a suitor here just by forming this relationship and making everyone else jealous of what we have. So I think in this one right now, that would make Kyle Shanahan the Duke, which is a pretty kind comparison.
I absolutely think so. And I love that because it's working, right? It clearly worked in Bridgerton, and then they ended actually falling in love. Maybe that's going to be the case with Mac Jones and Kyle Shanahan, and they do have a happy marriage moving forward. But to your point of making others jealous and kind of drawing interest for the 49ers, we're seeing both Trey Lance and Justin Fields in the next few days take part in second pro days. They've both scheduled second pro days. Justin Fields is tomorrow. Trey Lance's is 5 days from now. And we've been told that not only are they going to do some of the drills that we saw in their original pro days a few weeks ago, they're actually going to incorporate 49ers offensive drills. So in a world where you can't do private workouts with teams because of COVID-19, this is pretty dang close to a private workout of, hey, we're trying to show you that I can run your offense, Kyle Shanahan. I can be the guy that you need. Take another look at me in this second day pro day.
And that's been an interesting development. I think for a lot of people, it's been a wow factor. But like you said, there's very easy reasons to see why this is going on. And I think the frustrating part here in all this, the Mac Jones conversation, there's no denying he's good. But Katie, sure, for so many of us that saw, especially not too recently, what Justin Fields was able to do in the semifinal against Clemson, what he did all of 2019, his drop has been the most mysterious in all this, considering he's got so much of the same ability as far as what he's done accuracy-wise. And you add this physical ability, this physical prowess, and the toughness that we saw on display in that game. And I've been stunned that now we've got him, and this is the nightmare scenario, Katie, falling all the way down to 10 for the Patriots to smartly, as Mel Kiper predicted, trade themselves up to draft him there. Katie, I have to say, if the rest of the NFL allows that to happen, they deserve the Patriots taking control of the AFC East again for the next decade.
You know, I find it head-scratching, right, that we have seen Justin Fields fall in this scenario, but honestly, wouldn't it be a phenomenal landing spot for him? Yes, I know you want to be taken as quick as possible. I know the financial implications that are there, but also, don't you want to find a place where you're going to flourish like a Patrick Mahomes who got to sit behind Alex Smith and then also was with Andy Reid? Like, it was the perfect situation, the perfect storm for him to reach his potential. I feel like for Justin Fields, if he's not taken, which I would disagree with if he wasn't taken in the top five, because I do think he is a phenomenal talent. And we just saw the grit and the competitiveness and his ability to push through injury, right? When he suffered the rib injury against Clemson. And so I look at this as, yeah, it would stink to fall to 10, but at the same time, you'd get to maybe sit behind Cam Newton or beat him out, because of the accuracy that you mentioned, Gojo. Oh, and then you get to work with Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. Like, I don't think that would be the worst thing to happen to Justin Fields. If anything, I think it's a franchise that he could do really well in.
Absolutely. I think if you're Justin Fields, you could only hope this would be the dream come true, because outside of going to the 49ers at that third spot, a team that when it gets healthy looks like a Super Bowl contender for a lot of people, you're not going to find many better landing spots.
Sure.
And we've heard so many people bring this up that all of these quarterbacks are talented. This is a gifted class in a lot of ways, but like most first-round quarterbacks, you can be a victim of where you land. I love and think Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback in this class. He's going to have his work cut out for him in Jacksonville, and we all know that.
No, we certainly do. And I think, too, when you're comparing, say, a Mac Jones or Trey Lance or Justin Fields, Mac Jones may be ready for the NFL just because of the system that he's coming from, the consistency that he's shown. But what's his ceiling, right? Because all of these teams are looking for future plans. Who's going to be the guy, not maybe immediately, but who's going to be the guy 5-10 years from now? Hopefully, if they can last that long. Like, I think Justin Fields, Trey Lance, they have higher ceilings. There's more potential for them to reach than maybe, say, a Mac Jones.
Absolutely. More potential. And I think the unique ability, when you're a bad team, usually means bad O-line. You're not going to have the weapons. You're going to have to make some things happen on your own. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the ability to do that, that is where Mac Jones, I think, especially lags behind a lot of his peers in this category. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. You can get at us, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Should the rest of the NFL be sued for malpractice if Justin Fields is allowed to end up in a Patriot uniform? But coming up next, the rest of the NBA seems to be making their voices heard on one particular subject, the play-in tournament. We got to look at it during the bubble. It has made its way out, and we have heard a few players and one very prominent owner voice their displeasure. We'll tell you who and see just how many players in the league share this view next. It's Shanahan Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Katie George filling in with us here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Shanahan and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All-time moments coming out of the association. We've also got a little bit of angst right now. Shanahan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Katie George, kind enough to join us here for the first hour on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And Katie, I feel like we started off on the wrong foot because we were talking about potato salad coming off the top of the show. And I made a very quick joke about that I get mocked for putting raisins in my potato salad around here. You were concerned. I just want to make it clear. I don't actually do that.
Okay. I wanted to circle back, and I'm glad we've cleared the air. Yeah. I'm sure Rachel as well is glad to hear that.
Absolutely. As we welcome in ESPN NBA host Rachel Nichols. You can catch her on The Jump every day here. She has actually been the one stealing Chinne Agumake from us today. So, Rachel, I hope you guys had fun, and we're missing her over here. Did you take good care of my friend?
We had really a lot of fun. In fact, I may never give her back to you. And Katie, I just want you to know that we are concerned about Golic on so many levels, so many days of the week. The raisins and the potato salad was just like, it just went by. It wouldn't even make the list.
That is true.
It's just the tip of the iceberg, honestly.
I can say it. Unfortunately, doesn't even crack the top five at this point. But I could ask you both to be my therapist. I won't put you guys through that right now. And instead, maybe we can ask Rachel about what's going on. Because we might need some therapy in the NBA, Rachel. I saw Luka Doncic and then was echoed by the Mavs owner Mark Cuban coming out and really having some choice words for the NBA's play-in tournament. What we saw in the bubble now coming out to the light. You talk to so many players, so many people around the league. How much is this sentiment shared by other players and people throughout the league that the play-in tournament actually wasn't the best idea in the world?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. It's shared by players maybe who find themselves falling into the number 7 spot unexpectedly, which is exactly what happens to the Mavericks. You have to kind of take with a grain of salt that part of the sudden concern about the play-in tournament is coming when the Mavericks are in danger of having to play a play-in tournament. It was interesting to me to read Mark Cuban's actual quote, and real props to Tim McMahon from ESPN for talking to Mark about this and getting his take on it. He said, I understand why the NBA is doing it. If we're going to be creative because of COVID, though, we should just go 1 through 20 and let the bottom four play, which, by the way, spoiler alert, that means the Mavericks would not have to be in the play-in in that scenario. He said the worst part of the approach is the compressed schedule. And this is the part that really interests me. He says teams have to approach every game as a playoff game and to either get into or stay in the top six, since the consequences, as Luka said, are enormous if you end up in that play-in range. So players are playing more games and more minutes. In hindsight, this approach was an enormous mistake, close quote. And I just thought that was so interesting because part of the NBA's goal, meaning it's the feature, not the bug, was for players to play more games and not rest on games, especially when we finally have some fans back paying money for tickets, to have it matter for those bottom teams a little bit more. So Mark Cuban is one of the team owners who voted for this. It was a unanimous vote. He voted yes. It's just a little bit to me, look, I get it, but it's a little bit to me curious that he is raising this now when it's his team that might be in this situation. And the things that he points out are difficulty are kind of things the NBA was trying to do on purpose to get more big stars playing more nights and to have everything feel like it matters, right?
Sorry. So Rachel, for the teams 7 through 10, you know, how will this change their approach to the final games of the season where we normally would be seeing some guys rest and recover before they were able to hit the playoffs? Do you see a more aggressive approach from these teams?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be aggressive, really, from like 5 through 10, right? Because to Mark's point there, if you can stay on the top 6, right? So if you're in that 5 or 6 spot, you are really working to stay there because then you have that guaranteed berth in the playoffs and you don't have to kind of do the same machinations. If you are in that 7 through 10 spot, you will be not only hustling to be in the play-in game tournament, as we're calling it, even though it's just a couple games, but to be in the right position. Because if you're in that 7th spot, yes, you have to do a play-in, but you only have to win one of your 2 games to make the playoffs. Whereas if you are lower than that, you are going to have to win 2 to get in. So I think there's like a little bit of a learning curve that we're going to see with players and frankly fans of just sort of how this works, how the brackets work. But we've gotten a taste of it, right? I mean, we saw in the bubble, we got an exciting run with the Blazers, who were the ones who made it to that play-in spot. And I just think we're going to see great stuff at the end of this season. I'd love to see it all play out before we start declaring it a failure.
Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Katie George talking to Rachel Nichols, host of The Jump that you can catch every day on ESPN Radio. Gets to hang out with fun people like Chenan Igwumike, Kendrick Perkins, and so many others. And Rachel, we also saw last night a big monument for Steph Curry. He became the all-time points leader in Golden State Warriors history. And strangely enough, while that's going on, they're a team that we're talking about close to the bubble situation, which is rare for them. What's the future of this team look like with this current core? We know there's the injury to James Wiseman that's getting a second look, but what are the Warriors' plans now with Steph Curry, knowing this team has really stumbled in the last couple of years?
Well, first of all, I will say, when you talk about the Warriors possibly being in this playoff play-in bracket to get into the playoffs, it's possible, not maybe a little less likely this morning because the Lakers are going to get Anthony Davis and LeBron James back eventually. And if you look at the standings, Denver, we expect to take a bit of a tumble after the really sad news about Jamal Murray. So it's certainly the Lakers could stay out of the play-in, but it's possible. You could get Lakers, Warriors, Steph versus LeBron in a play-in game with the way this is set up. That would be crazy. But the larger, bigger picture is really one for the Warriors brass to wrestle with because they have to figure out how to maximize Steph Curry's career. You only get it, this player like this once in a lifetime. The fact that he passed Wilt Chamberlain tells you what company he is in. And he is getting older, and his game will age well, but eventually he won't play basketball anymore. So you want to maximize him, and there are big questions about, do you package some of the draft picks that they've got coming up? Do you package Andrew Wiggins? Do you package James Wiseman? Although, of course, that is now harder with his injury, and get some other big star, like maybe a Bradley Beal, people in California have been talking about quite a bit, if he ever became available from the Wizards. Would they do that? Should they do that? And that's just a lot of questions for the Warriors leadership to answer, and it's made a little bit more complicated by James Wiseman's injury.
Rachel, you were speaking the love language of this show and freeing Bradley Beal and getting him to a location like that. So we would certainly sign up for that. Everyone, make sure you check out The Jump, the absolute best in the business, breaking down all things NBA. Rachel, we appreciate you joining us. We're going to try and see if we can coax Chenan back, but if she doesn't want to, I completely understand.
Thanks, Rachel.
So great to talk to you guys. Thanks so much.
Awesome stuff. Check her out at Rachel_Nichols on Twitter as well. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Coming up next, let's stick with that play-in tournament, though, because I think Rachel hit on the key point, the key part of Mark Cuban's argument that falls utterly short of anything resembling a coherent response. We will get to that after this word from Angie. Now, guys, we all know there's a lot of pride that comes with having your own home. It's where you entertain family and friends. It's the biggest investment you'll ever make. It's the place you make all your own. But it's also a lot of work. As someone who has had to grapple with a very, very leaky faucet in the kitchen for a while now, I can attest to that. That's why there's a place like Angie. They're on a mission to help you love your home by taking on all the projects that come along with it. Angie takes all the help you could possibly need for your home, like my dumb faucet, and puts it right in the palm of your hand. When you download the Angie app, you can help find a professional to fix an emergency leak when you need it. If you're planning a renovation, Angie matches you with the best contractor for the job. You can even schedule seasonal maintenance, so it's all on autopilot. God, love Angie. Plus, you can see clear upfront pricing on hundreds of projects so you know what you're going to pay all ahead of time. You can even pay your pros securely right through the app. It's a one-stop shop. Handling your home has never been this straightforward, but now we have Angie, your home for everything home. Download it today. The problem with the play-in next here on Chenan Golic Jr. Katie George filling in with us on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I didn't really know what to expect. I almost never do coming in here most days, but I can assure you I did not think we would have a battle royale from Twitter, state versus state, mano a mano here.
And are we doing this now? Are we doing this now?
Well, Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That is the voice of Katie George, who's been kind enough to hang out with us today in Janae's place for the first hour of the show. You can catch her with Peter Burns on Best Week Ever, Sunday morning, 7 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Katie, I think we still got to save this one, but this genuinely, for anyone that missed it, apparently on these interwebs, on Twitter today, someone put up this, we'll call it a winning percentage, a bracket. They pitted states against each other in one-on-one matchups, and they took whatever the winning percentage that state had in one-on-one matchups and ranked them 1 through 50. Well, 1 through 51, including D.C. And, Katie, there were some shocking answers in here. I know you were particularly stunned at just how low Kentucky fared in all of this.
You know, the South never wins out in things like this. People just don't have a respect for the South and all the beauty. That's just what I'm going to say. If we're going to table this for later, let me gather my thoughts and my emotions just for where Kentucky's ranked on this list of 51.
I was going to say, you know what? We'll give you that and the tease that you'll never guess, especially thinking of the conference that's going to be represented by what Katie just mentioned. You will never guess who came in dead last in this entire endeavor. So we will get to that very shortly here. But we just had Rachel Nichols on, host of The Jump, does a great job covering the NBA for us. And we talked to her about the complaints about the play-in tournament coming up in the NBA. It was came up in the NBA bubble. You get teams 7 through 10, so the 7 and 8 seed playing each other, the 9 and 10 seed playing, and then the winner of those two to try and figure out who will ultimately represent for that last seed in this. And a lot of this came up because Luka Doncic, star player for the Dallas Mavericks, after their absolute drumming last night at the hands of the 76ers, came out and gave his thoughts about the play-in tournament. Here's what he had to say in the post-game presser.
Obviously, we're trying to get a sixth seed. I don't understand the idea of playing. You play 72 games to get in the playoffs, and then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. So I don't see the point of that. But we're just trying here to get to the sixth spot, and I think that's our goal right now.
And Katie, there's a weird part of me that understands exactly where he's coming from in saying you play all these games to try and figure out who's good over the course of a season, and then in two games that can be undermined. But you and I both spend a lot of our time in college football that talks so much about expanding the playoff. And this is kind of the reminder for everyone involved, including the playoffs, that this isn't really about finding a truer champion. This is about, in the NBA's case, making it more entertaining for the people watching and trying to keep more of these teams from tanking. And it seems on like both of those fronts, Katie, this has been an overwhelming success for them so far.
Without a doubt. And to your point, the winners of this scenario, this play-in tournament, are the fans watching at home and the NBA. The losers are the teams who would like to rest some of their players moving forward as they approach the playoffs. Now, this doesn't allow for that because those games, to Luka Doncic's point, matter. And are you going to be able to solidify and lock up this number six spot, which is right where the Mavs sit at this point? And so I'm going to be really interested to see how this plays out because as a fan, I absolutely loved the play-in tournament in the bubble. We watched the Suns, you know, miss the mark, but they went 8-0, and they were phenomenal. I mean, it gave us Dame Dollar and everything that the Portland Trailblazers were able to do. Like, those were the games I watched more than even when we got into the thick of the playoffs because of just the intensity and the excitement and the fact that there was so much on the line. And so, yes, I can understand why that would be frustrating for teams who, yeah, have done enough to lock up in a normal year or 2 years prior the seventh or eighth seed and could try to make a run. You know, this doesn't warrant that, but it certainly makes it a lot more entertaining. And yeah, maybe that is at the fault of the players.
It is, but I guess at a certain point, because we're always going to come, especially on this show, from the side of the players and looking at this and saying, yeah, you're not going to get maybe the truest champion in some of these instances if you include too much of this. I know there's been talk of the midseason tournament, all these different things. But when it comes to the postseason, there is just something, especially in a sport like the NBA, that prioritizes series. And we see this in Major League Baseball with the wild card round all the time, Katie. There's just nothing like single elimination playoff business. That's why the NFL has so much success. That's why we see college football have so much success with it. And so I'm sure the NBA trying to tap into some of that and saying, all right, we can get a shot of something that is really hard to replicate in sports that do series the way they do right now. And yeah, you're going to every once in a while have some people ticked off. But Mark Cuban, I feel like this is one of those spots where backing up your star player, pretty easy move to do knowing you did vote for this and this is going to be something
you'd probably
vote for again.
In hindsight, he said that it was an enormous mistake. But to your point, you know, Peter Burns and I, a couple weeks ago, we had this conversation when the NCAA basketball tournament was going on, which championship or which trophy is the hardest to win? We kept coming back time and time again to sports that are single elimination. The NCAA tournament is a perfect example. It is so hard to win the NCAA title. Now, we did have people, we also mentioned the NFL because it's the same blueprint in the playoffs being single elimination. But a lot of people on Twitter and social media said the Stanley Cup was the hardest to win, but nobody brought the NBA Finals up because they're all seven-game series. And so I think that this adds the drama. It adds the interest, you know, for the casual fan. And maybe that'll give you the momentum when you're watching the play-in to continue on. Say that you're the number nine seed, right, is able to lock up a seed in the playoffs and they're able to move forward. Well, maybe that's the voting interest that you want to see them move forward and you continue to watch throughout the entirety of the playoffs or the entirety of their run. Like, that's what the league ultimately wants. And so I think it's easy for Doncic and Mark Cuban to have this thought and make this stand at this point. Well, you haven't won enough games. Like, in hindsight, this is a get off your lawn kind of take.
Yes.
Win enough games and you don't have to worry about it. But unfortunately, this was the decision that the NBA Board of Governors, a.k.a. Mark Cuban, you as well, decided upon. Well, do enough so you don't have to worry about this point, and you can rest the necessary players without a thought or a mind. I don't know. I just think it's really interesting.
Oh, Katie, it's perfect, though. You're right. Get out of that range, and you'll have no problem with the way that this has changed in this spot. I do have to say, and because you brought this up, Janane Golick Jr. here, Mike Golick Jr., talking to Katie George on ESPN Radio. You brought up one of my favorite things, that conversation about who has the best champion or the toughest choice to win and what we do with the Stanley Cup playoffs all the time. Ryan Matlack, who's a great producer for us on this show, also produces Best Week Ever with you and Peter Burns on Sunday morning. I have a theory, and I want to hear if both of you agree with this. I think most people say that, and this is not to diminish, because I think the Stanley Cup is a tremendously difficult trophy. Outside of football, you're not going to find a more violent contact collision sport built out there. But I think people are doing the NHL a disservice when they just lump it in with that. I think it's because most people casually coming in are afraid of hockey Twitter, they're afraid of hockey fans, and they just want to say that because they don't want to spend any time learning anything else about the NHL when they're coming into that setting. So it's easy to say, toughest trophy to win in all sports. No doubt about it. What are we talking about next? So I think we need to involve the discourse around hockey here. Am I wrong on this one? Am I crazy on this one?
I don't think so, but I'm going to bring in Ryan Matlack, who is clearly more educated to speak on this topic than I.
Yeah, I think overall, I would say that it is one of the toughest postseasons in all of sports and the universe. But to your point, Junior, you don't want hockey Twitter on you. Usually we're just off doing our own thing. We're watching games, drinking Tim Hortons. There's no reason to involve us in a lot of the conversation. So just, you know, skate over to the bench and just zip it.
So, you know, speaking of what we're drinking here, is like Labatt Blue. Where are we at on that one? Because that would be my beer of choice in that spot.
Well, luckily I found a few liquor stores here in the Bristol area that go Molson and Labatt.
Ooh.
And another one, Dark Horse, Moosehead. Try that one out.
See? There we go. We're really trying to engage with NFL Twitter around here. Ryan Matlack is in it. He is as deep inside of hockey as you're going to find as someone at the worldwide leader here. And so we're trying to evolve beyond just saying it's the toughest trophy to win in all of sports. Thank you for your service. We appreciate it.
Here for you.
Awesome stuff here. All right, coming up next. Now we got to clear out all the tables in the room here because weirdly, state pride is always one of those things. It's like the college that you went to. It's like the high school you grew up in around here. People always start to sharpen their sticks and get ready for this one. So coming up next, we will tell you not only the state that reigns supreme among the 50, but the shocking representation at the bottom of this list. You're never going to believe who came in dead dog last next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Mike Golic Jr., Katie George. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Our thanks to Rachel Nichols for joining us on that Goodyear Hotline earlier in the hour. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on the podcast. You can check out Katie George coming up later tonight on the ACC Network In Play with EJ Manuel. On that, going to be very exciting. You can also listen to her on Sunday mornings, 7 to 10 Eastern, best week ever with Peter Burns on ESPN Radio. Katie, am I missing anything? You have volleyball coming up next week too, right, for the NCAA tournament.
I do. I'm actually heading up to Bristol to your neck of the woods. Connecticut being the, 23rd greatest state out of 51 on our list that we're going to get into. I'm heading up to Bristol to call NCAA volleyball games. All those teams start play on Wednesday, tomorrow afternoon, out in Omaha at one site. So definitely excited. Weird year, obviously, like we've seen for so many. The volleyball season is usually competed in the fall with the championship crowned in December. Now, obviously, that's all been pushed back because of COVID, so we will have a champion crowned at the end of April.
There, you know what? And that is an incredible testament to the athletes involved. We've talked so much about the disruptions in schedule this year, but you're right. It's out of place. It's out of time for so many of the players involved. But getting to this point now, getting to a tournament and getting to crown a championship, an incredible testament to the hardworking people involved in that. And you mentioned Connecticut checking in at 23. So this is courtesy of ugov.com. So apparently, we were talking about this before the show, Katie. This is one of these random things that popped up on Twitter. U.S. states ranked according to Americans. So this is the setup for all this. Respondents were asked to choose the better of two states. So two states pitted one against the other from the list of 50 and Washington, D.C. It was a series of head-to-head matchups. And the following is a list of states based on their win percentage. How many times each state won their respective matchup? I'm going to read you the top five here. Tell me what sticks out to you right now. Number one overall, Hawaii. Kind of makes sense. I can understand it. Maybe a little overrated in my book, but I can see why people like it. Colorado at 2, Virginia at 5, Nevada at 4, and North Carolina, come on and raise up at 5 on this one. Katie, any thoughts here?
I don't think Hawaii is overrated. I think that that's an easy number one. I actually think Colorado at number two makes a whole lot of sense. If you're active, it has every outdoor activity possible that you could ever want to do. What surprises me, actually, is Virginia and Nevada. I don't understand why Virginia gets number three. Please, somebody on Twitter or call in and explain to me why Virginia needs to be number three on this list out of 51. Nevada, clearly, I think, is being pushed by Las Vegas. So when you look at these, Gojo, I'm curious where these states rank. Like, is it just one city in these states that is pushing the ranking, the head-to-head matchups?
That's what it feels like, because as we migrate further down the list, you've got Georgia checking in at number 9. And these are not my words. I saw this in a tweet online where someone said, outside of Atlanta, is Georgia not just Alabama with better golf courses here? And yet we've got Georgia checking in at number 9, Katie, and Alabama. This is one of the first times in my life, probably the only time in my life, I will beat Alabama at anything. They check in at dead dog last of the 50 states at 50, which is a little bit jarring for that state, considering you thought maybe just off the strength of Nick Saban, they'd get higher.
Yeah, I just don't know if Americans were college football fans when they were doing these head-to-head matchups, because clearly not, because Alabama is dead last, Mississippi at 49, New Jersey, I don't know if we have any New Jersey folks on the crew, at 48th, but my old Kentucky home at 42, I always expect Kentucky to rank really low in any of these kind of quizzes or rankings, but I was just hopeful that 42, they'd be a little bit better. I mean, I'm looking at some states and I'm like, Kentucky's surely better than that state.
I mean, listen, apparently it's not even better than Connecticut.
I know, which, you know what? I don't want to argue with you about this, but I kind of think Kentucky has more to offer than Connecticut.
Katie, I've lived in Connecticut since 1998. I've been here for the better part of 23 years. I wholeheartedly agree with you. Like, outside of the old Hartford Whalers colors and the Hartford Yard Goats, respect the yard, I don't know what we're giving people outside of maybe ESPN that Kentucky can't do with bourbon and plenty of other better things.
And I don't mean to just point blank call people out, but like Nebraska at 34, you're telling me Nebraska is better than Wisconsin, Illinois with Chicago, Kentucky, my home place, like even South Dakota, Indiana. I'm like, come on, Nebraska, really?
Stunning upset on this one. So you can get at us, 888-729-3776. If you think your state should be ranked higher. But Katie, we've enjoyed this hour with you. Thank you so much. Have fun on In Play later on tonight. We'll talk to you very soon, my friend.
Thanks for letting me join.
All right, coming up next, we will get Chiney back on the show and get some Bubble Watch with her on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chiney and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.